I'm honored to be with you all. San Francisco is the continuing battleground for liberty, reason, and compassion here in America. We have a great conference planned for the next 3 days. What a wonderful opportunity we have to recharge our spiritual batteries. We will meet old friends and make new ones, and we can all share our experiences and our plans for the future of legal marijuana in America. In our land. The theme of this conference is grassroots to grass top. And you can sure get a lot of different meanings and levels out of that, can't you? I, of course, thought first of the marijuana plant. From the roots, the start of the plant, the alpha, it starts that growth cycle. The roots provide the essential nutrients to the plant, the anchor plant, hold it in the ground. To the tops, the omega. You know, that's it for many of us. That's the part we value most. Now, the stalks have value, too, but today is roots and tops. The most important part, the most beautiful part, in many ways, the tops are the results of the work of the farmer, of course. But the plant depends on the roots, the stalk, the leaves, and, of course, Mother Nature. The tops end up as the nutrient, the medicine, the seeds, and has recreational, healing, and spiritual purposes more than we could ever describe. And has for, 10,000 years at least. But you know, you can't have one without the other. You must have the roots before you can have the tops. One is not better than another. It's the alpha and the omega. I had, being a lawyer, I had to look up the definition of grassroots in Webster's International Dictionary. And it defined grassroots as soil at or near the surface, the farming and rural districts of a county as distinguished from the industrial and urban areas, the people of these districts when constituting or acting as a fundamental politic, a political economic group, and the source of independent popular opinion. And that's us, isn't it? It's the very foundation or source of something is its grassroots. It's the fundamental part, for example, the grassroots of a political organization or movement. And that is us, because we are the grassroots. We are the grassroots reform movement. This land is your land. This land is my land. Isn't it time we claimed it? Yeah. We ought to claim our land. You know, we are the majority. 72% of us in a couple polls say we, the people, favor decriminalization of possession of marijuana. 75% of us, 3 out of 4 of us, favor the medical use of marijuana. 11 states have passed laws providing for medical marijuana. One state, Rhode Island, has passed a law since the Supreme Court decision last June, the Raich Munson decision. It's still going. Several cities, many cities, and growing every year, have the lowest priority enforcement or decriminalization of possession of small amounts of marijuana. Almost half the adults in the United States have tried pot. That's 100 million people. We have gone past the threshold, ladies and gentlemen. So, if 100 million of us have tried pot and know it isn't the stuff the government says, why isn't it legal? Well, the short answer is control, fear, greed, lies, racism, and politics. They make it illegal. The government is trying to trample us like grass beneath its boots. 771,608 people were arrested in this country, our land, in 2004 for marijuana. That's one every 42 seconds or thereabouts. It was 44.2% of all the drug arrests in America that year. Marijuana arrests have doubled since 1993, while the arrests for heroin and cocaine have sharply declined. The price of marijuana has gone up. The price of cocaine and serious drugs has gone down because of this marijuana prohibition. 17 million of us have been arrested for marijuana possession, mainly, since 1965. It's amazing. The United States has 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prison population. 56% of those incarcerated are there for nonviolent drug crimes. All this in the land of liberty and freedom. The drug prohibition is ineffective and counterproductive. It is racist in its origin, and it's racist today. We know that. For example, African Americans comprise 8.8% of the United States population, but 23% of marijuana arrests, just for example. The drug prohibition is immoral and violates our rights and common sense. It is ridiculous to arrest and lock up over 700,000 citizens at the cost of $40 to $100 billion a year, depending on how you count the financial cost. But, you know, there's so many other losses besides the financial losses, like denying 190,000 young people the opportunity to go to college due to a drug conviction under the Higher Education Act. Jeff, that's just since 1998. I just heard from Chris Crane this week that Indiana's the worst. It's double the national average, with 9,000 students in Indiana alone denied aid to go to college due to drug convictions in the last 6 years. Ridiculous. There's many other costs besides the financial, of course, and the truth is the first thing to go in any war, and it's not untrue in this war. Truth is the first to go. And how about licenses and registration so people can work? Like driver's licenses help, too. Loss of your children. They're taking your kids away. Loss of your voting rights. Some states disenfranchise you forever on a felony conviction. Loss of gun permit to carry guns. Loss of the right to have guns in your home. Loss of subsidized housing, even for other people in your family if you get busted. Loss of respect for law enforcement and the court system. Loss of hundreds of thousands of careers for those arrested, and hundreds of thousands of more people lose their careers because of drug testing that has no relevance to impairment at the workplace. DUID laws that are you're drunk driving if they catch you with metabolites of pot in your system. You smoke a joint now, and 3 weeks later you get pulled over in Indiana and in nine other states, and you're per se drunk, despite all the science and logic. Forfeiture laws. My God, we lose our homes, our money, our property. Drug excise tax laws. You pay an excise tax on your car, but you can drive it. You pay an excise tax on pot, and that's just so you don't pay higher penalties on the excise tax. Loss of driving privileges, loss of citizenship or visa status, waste of law enforcement funds, equipment and manpower, waste of the court system, corruption of the courts, waste in maintaining and building prisons, and loss of the use of the marijuana plant itself, which is the best plant we got. The losses are staggering. Albert Einstein once said that nothing is more destructive of respect for the government and laws of the land than passing laws which can't be enforced. And obviously this one can be enforced. The government hasn't been able to enforce this one. It's gone from 5,000 users in 37 to 100 million today. And in any calculation, that's not an effective enforcement of prohibition. And what about prohibition? It's un-American. Prohibition is destroying our land, your land and my land, and darkening our spirits. President Lincoln once said that prohibition goes beyond the bounds of reason, and that it attempts to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things which aren't crimes. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded. The government continues to lie to you about marijuana. It will tell you there is no medical benefit from marijuana, that it's unsafe to use in treatment, but cocaine and heroin's okay. That the whole basis of the Controlled Substance Act and classification of marijuana on Schedule 1 is based on this lie and misclassification. The lie that the federal law under the Supreme Court can be enforced against people and providers and patients in the medical marijuana states. This is a violation, ladies and gentlemen, of not only your 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 8 Interstate Commerce Clause. At least those. Medical marijuana use in San Francisco is not interstate commerce. Give me a break. It's all right here. And it's your God-given right. It's the American basis or root foundation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And where, just where does the government get the power to regulate marijuana? You know, when they did the alcohol prohibition, they had to pass the 18th Amendment to the United States Constitution to get the power to regulate it. I don't recall them doing that, do you?
There wasn't even a hearing.
The government will tell you that men who smoke pot grow breasts and become sterile, that pregnant women harm their unborn child by smoking any amount of marijuana, that the marijuana used today is 3% THC compared to 1% THC in the 70s, although I think that's getting closer, that marijuana leads to serious drug addiction problems. I debated a cop, Sergeant Crabtree, last year of the Marijuana Eradication Project in Indiana, and he was saying things in the paper like, well, Dylan's right, we ought to concentrate on meth labs. But you know, all those meth labs were started by meth addicts that started smoking ditchweed. Oh, that's what we're dealing with, folks. The ditchweed will turn you into an addict. That the government has the power or right to do this to you, they will tell you they do, then you know that it's a lie. The answer. Thomas Jefferson said that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Well, we are the people, and we are the majority, and we need to assert ourselves. We need to live in reason and justice for all. To choose love instead of fear is our basis and the basis for our government. We need to take control of the mess we are in and to do something about it, and we need to do something about it soon. What are we waiting for? Who are we waiting for? Are we waiting for another George Bush? This is your land. This is my land, and I, for one, don't like the way Bush and the government is destroying my land. What do you think? You know, if you're not outraged by what's going on, you aren't paying attention. We need to show our strength, our grassroots. We should never, for one second, be ashamed of our long history of marijuana use in this country. We know the truth, and the truth is our basis. Our roots are not like the lies, which are the government's basis. The government's prohibition of marijuana is doomed because it's based on falsehood and fear, and our victory over the prohibition is certain, because we are finally ready to act to change things now. It is certain that we will win because our roots are based in experience, truth, and love. And it is our patriotic duty to act. Fellow Normal board member Barbara Ehrenreich said that no matter that patriotism is often the refuge of scoundrels, dissent, rebellion, and all-around hell-raising remains the true duty of a patriot. People are unwilling to believe that they're really in the majority, even though we are. They think it's unsafe to stand up and to stand out and demand change. But we must realize it ourselves and then tell other people. We must empower ourselves first, and then our friends and our families, and then people at work, and then to other people, everybody else. We must have the same kind of faith that our founding mothers and fathers had when they started this country. The faith of those who fought for freedom from slavery. The faith of those who fought for voting and civil rights. The faith of those who have fought to defend our freedom and the way of life we have. We have that strength. This land is your land. This land is my land. And we must individually and collectively act now to do whatever we can to let everybody know that marijuana is okay and we're wasting our time and money trying to prohibit it. We are the grassroots. We deserve and demand change from our government, or a new government we need that's responsive to we the people. Thomas Jefferson once said that the freedom and happiness of man are the sole objects of all legitimate government. And he was willing, among others, to mutually pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to set up and defend a country by the people and for the people. They knew they were right because their principles were based in natural law and truth. They had an intolerable situation, and they had the courage and the wisdom and the faith to act. They knew it was risky to stand out. If we don't all hang together, we'll hang separately. And as Benjamin Franklin said, they that give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. People sometimes don't realize their collective or even individual power to help change a bad system. They think that they're in the minority or something bad will happen to them if they demand change or write a letter to the editor, or called into a live radio show, or ran for office, or voted for a candidate that promised change. But they're wrong not to act, because we can and we will make a difference. Those of us right now, here, right now in this room, can push that ball rolling. As Margaret Mead once said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I want to thank you all for coming to this conference. I know you all do a lot for the drug reform movement, and we stand together in the defense of liberty and freedom. As Simon Wiesenthal, a Holocaust survivor, said, freedom is not a gift from God. If you want freedom, you must work for it every day. And now let us go forth from this place, committed anew to the cause of liberty for all people, that next year we may celebrate in a world made better by our efforts. Thank you.